From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, anti-Semitism on the rise, Title IX pushback, and Christian support for Israel. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. With student-led riots at schools like Columbia, Southern Cal, and many others, there's been a rapid rise in anti-Semitic protests around the country. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins on Thursday to talk about it was former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Friedman. Here's Tony Perkins.
Ambassador Friedman, welcome to Washington Watch, and I wish you a happy Passover.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it very much.
So in the middle of a multi-front war that poses the greatest threat to Israel since its founding nearly 76 years ago, what do you make of two prominent leaders of the Democratic Party calling for the Prime Minister of Israel to resign?
Look, I think it's a gut punch to the state of Israel. It's a gut punch to all those who support it, to all the people who are risking their lives and in many cases sacrificing their lives to protect the state of Israel against the most vile forces of evil in the world, who frankly hate America just as much as they hate the state of Israel. It's the middle of a war, as you point out. I mean, it's an incredibly difficult, challenging environment under the best of circumstances. And Pelosi and Schumer are just making it worse for Israel because this is their leader. Look, at some point in the future, you know, they'll have an election. They'll choose, you know, whoever they choose as their prime minister. Maybe it'll be Netanyahu, maybe somebody else, but not now. Nobody, even the people in Israel who despise Netanyahu, are rallying around him now as the leader of the country in a time of war. And so what Pelosi and Schumer are doing is undermining Israel. It's, I think, bringing great disgrace to the United States. I think it's making other countries really doubt whether they can trust America as an ally when things get tough. And I think it reveals what I've known for some time, which is that whether it's Schumer or Pelosi, these are people devoid of principles. These are people who are shameless head counters. And they're looking around right now in an election year and seeing a lot of energy right now among, you know, young people who are hostile to Israel. And they want to, you know, kind of maintain the option for those votes. And that's all this is about. It's just really shameless.
But Ambassador, the media kind of enables this. Because think about this for a moment. If Republicans, who are many of whom have questioned what's happening in Ukraine, as Putin, you know, once again sets his sights as the spring comes on moving into Kyiv, there's been some problems with accountability of the funding there, other issues of how that war has been executed. What if Republicans would have called for Zelensky to resign? I mean, I think the press would have gone crazy.
Of course they would have. You know, Israel doesn't get a fair shake in the domestic press. I mean, thank God for people like you and a few others who will support Israel and report the facts fairly. It's a huge issue for the state of Israel. They've been trying any number of ways to penetrate this wall of ignorance. I would say a wall of hatred. Not with much success. I mean, you know, you would think that a nation that was invaded by bloodthirsty terrorists who burned babies, raped women, slaughtered people in their beds, took 250 hostages, continue to hold 130 hostages, you would think they would not be garnering much sympathy anywhere in the world. But, you know, Right. Look, they have, you know, you have colleges all across the country, including my alma mater, I'm very much ashamed of it right now, Columbia, where, you know, people are actually saying, we are Hamas. It's not right. About peace. It's not about a ceasefire. It's about destroying Israel. And I guess this view had been there in a latent state for quite a while, but it's all coming out to the surface.
So I, with that in mind, I want to ask you a personal question, if I can. You and I are friends. Only someone who is Jewish can really answer this question, given the history of what has happened to the Jewish people. With the rise of anti-Semitism that we're seeing now across the United States and really around the world, And it was manifesting before these university campuses erupted here in the U.S. post October 7th, with the anti-Semitism on the march, while at the same time the place of safety for Jewish people around the globe, Israel, facing this existential threat. How do you approach this new reality?
Well, unfortunately, it's an old reality. And, you know, we just finished our Passover Seder 2 nights ago. And we say this at every Seder. We say in every generation, they rise up against us, and God comes to our aid. And what holds us together is the Bible. The Bible stands, it stands with us as our protection. God stands with us with our protection. Look, go back 3,500 years. You know, there aren't a lot of nations right now around from that period. There are no more Canaanites or Jebusites or, you know, or Phoenicians, you know. We're all that's left of that, you know, of antiquity. And it's because of the book. It's because the book has held us together and God has protected us. And what this does, Tony, is it just reinforces our faith and makes us hold, you know, cling to that, our biblical heritage in the words of God with greater strength.
And it is that book that unites us as Christians to the Jewish community and standing for them and standing for Israel. Ambassador, always great to see you, and thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you for your friendship and for your support for the Jewish people and the state of Israel.
Absolutely. And folks, I do want to encourage you to be a part of Standing with Israel, praying for and standing with Israel. May the 19th is a special Sunday. Pray for and stand with Israel Sunday. You can be a part of that as a church, as individuals. Simply text the word Israel to 67742. I believe this is a critical moment in which the church must stand with Israel. We're going to talk about this a little bit later in the program when Pastor Gary Hamrick joins me as to why Christians, people of the book, should be standing with Israel and the Jewish people. So that's still to come on this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication titled An Introduction to Worldview provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, if you would like to join the effort to pray for and stand with Israel, text the word Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. Sunday, May the 19th, you can be a part of that. You can find out more by texting Israel to 67742. All right, as I mentioned at the top of the program, the Biden administration released its radical revisions to Title IX last week, which now includes gender identity as a protected class, essentially eradicating women's rights and their private spaces, destroying women's sports. Now, before these rules take effect on August the 1st, education leaders in a growing number of states, red states, I might add, have stepped forward saying no. They're not going to bend the Biden administration's redefinition of sex. Now, how will this play out? And will other states follow suit? Joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Cade Brumley, Superintendent of Education for the state of Louisiana, which was among the first states to take a stand. Dr. Brumley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
And let me commend you for taking a stand. Florida is taking a stand, Oklahoma, those states that are not giving in to this nonsense. Before we discuss the actions you've taken, tell us why the Biden administration's Title IX rewrite is so misguided and will not work.
Look, Tony, this is just a bridge too far. It's plain and simply an overreach. It flies in the sense of face of common sense. Basically, the Biden administration is inserting the words gender identity instead of simply using what we've come to know and understand as the provisions in Title IX of biological sex. The problems that I see initially, one, There are going to be constitutional challenges from the First Amendment standpoint, freedom of speech. Two, this seeks to dismantle the longtime rights of females for equal opportunity in sports competitions. And three, something that's not getting much attention that I'm concerned about is I'm afraid it's going to create additional bureaucracies on school campuses in an effort to police all of these claims of discrimination. And so those are three of the primary issues for which I'm concerned. And for the for those reasons, and obviously my work with our Attorney General in the state of Louisiana, Liz Merle, our Governor, Jeff Landry, we have asked school systems across the state to pause and do not implement at this time these radical shifts to Title IX.
So you've asked the schools not to implement these federal guidelines. What are the next steps? How do you see this playing out? Because I know every state's a little different in how the educational system works, but I think Louisiana is a good indicator.
Yeah, look, this is reckless. It endangers children. It seeks to dismantle protections for women. One of my primary concerns in the state of Louisiana is it creates a challenge because we have the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Our legislature passed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act that says sports competitions in the state of Louisiana are to be separated on the basis of biological sex unless they're co-ed in nature. And so it's contrary to that. Next, our legislature is considering what's called the Given Name Act, which means classroom teachers are to call their students by the name on their birth certificate unless the parent requests otherwise in writing, which, again, is just common sense. So we are working with our AG now. We are exploring all options available to challenge the Biden administration on this reckless revision to Title IX.
Have they linked this to federal funding to education in your state?
They have, Tony. Look, I've been in contact with the USDA, with the U.S. Department of Education for nearly 2 years on this particular issue. And I've asked them the question, are you serious that you would consider taking federal funds to feed some of our poorest, most vulnerable students their breakfast and their lunch? I've asked, are you serious that they would withhold funds for students with exceptionalities who need additional support? And I've asked if they're serious about withholding funds for students who are in most need in terms of their economic conditions. And unfortunately, all of that is in play right now. And I think that that is what they are dangling over the heads of all of the states. But again, I'm proud to be in the state of Louisiana. I'm proud to work with our team here, and we will challenge this particular revision because it is a challenge against our sovereignty in the state of Louisiana.
Final question for you, sir. Are you confident that the schools will follow your direction on this until it's resolved at the state level?
Look, frankly, I believe that the schools are relieved in the state of Louisiana. They're relieved to see the guidance that we've provided. Many of them obviously are heading off into summer break very soon. And they were curious about, you know, how are they going to respond to this before the beginning of next school year? And so we believe that they will comply. They will take this pause, give us the opportunity to go through this 1,500 plus page document of these revisions and advise them accordingly.
Amazing. Dr. Brumley, I want to thank you for joining us today and bringing us up to date on what is happening in the Bayou State. But also, I want to thank you and commend you for all the fine work you've done in the state of Louisiana and standing firm for conservative constitutional principles.
Yeah, thanks again. It's an honor to serve the great people of the state of Louisiana, and I think our best days are ahead.
I would agree. That's Dr. Cade Brumley from Louisiana, Superintendent of Education. And folks, look, push back on this nonsense, all right? Contact your Superintendent of Education. You can start with your school board. But we should not put up with this nonsense. It's dangerous to our children. All right, after the break, the alarming rise of anti-Semitism in the U.S. We're going to talk about that next. Don't go away.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, ever since the October 7th terrorist attacks, we've seen the Biden administration's support for Israel, you know, kind of unravel as they pursued the policies of the left and appeasement to Israel's enemies. And I've discussed from my recent trip to Israel, Israeli leaders and citizens recognize that American Christians, Bible-believing Christians, have emerged as few of the remaining supporters of the State of Israel. However, as I've discussed supporting Israel, I've gotten messages from those who disagree. Now, they are in the minority, but some claim that, well, the modern state, Jewish state of Israel, is not the same as the Israel of the Bible, nor are the Jewish people the same people of the Bible. I'm quite sure who they are. Therefore, the promises of the Bible that those who bless Israel will not, that, well, let me just read it from Genesis chapter 12, where God called Abram. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, I've read through that many, many times. I do not see an expiration date on that. See, I strongly disagree that the modern state of Israel has nothing to do with Israel, the Bible. I believe what we've witnessed is the unfolding of biblical prophecy right before our very eyes. I don't know about you, but I want to be on God's side. He says he's bringing Israel back. He's going to gather them from all of the nations back to their home. And that began, I believe, in 1948. And I want to stand with God and the people, the Jewish people. But don't take it just for me. Joining me now to discuss this, Pastor Gary Hamrick, senior pastor of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, a great friend and a great friend of Israel and Jewish people. Pastor Gary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So let's just kind of jump into this. You actually preached a message right after October the 7th, essentially why we need to stand with Israel. There are some today, and there's a technical name for it, replacement theology, where many hold that the church replaced Israel, therefore the Jewish people, you know, just it doesn't really matter much anymore. I still believe Genesis 12. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. Replacement theology is a destructive, damaging, and I'll even use the word demonic doctrine that has infiltrated the church. It actually isn't anything new. Even from the second century AD, Justin Martyr, Clement of Alexandria, they talked about this. They called it supersessionism. It's basically the idea, and I think, as I said, I think it's a wrong idea. It's a bad doctrine. It's demonic. But it's basically the idea that the church has replaced Israel in terms of all the promises of the New Testament, and that God is done with Israel, that God only used Israel to accomplish the purpose of bringing a Messiah onto the world scene, but when the Jewish people were part of crucifying Jesus, that God said he's done with the Jewish people, he's done with Israel, and all the promises have been passed on to the church today. I don't believe that's biblical at all. God is not done with Israel, as you alluded to. In Ezekiel 37, God brought the people, the Jewish people from around the world back together to their own homeland. It was a prophecy that Ezekiel made, and it was fulfilled on May the 14th, 1948, when officially Israel was recognized as the Jewish state. And God is not done with the Jewish people. He's not done with the nation of Israel. And there are terrible repercussions for that kind of a thinking, that kind of a doctrine that is so false. There's terrible repercussions for it.
I want to address one of these issues, then I'm going to ask you another question. The idea that the church has replaced the Jewish people, that's Old Testament, that's gone, it's the church now. Then why would Paul write in Romans post crucifixion, resurrection, that we are grafted in. We wouldn't be grafted in. We would be the replacement. But we're grafted into the promises that went to the Jewish people.
Yeah, so true. And he also wrote in Romans 11, verse 1, he said, has God cast away his people? And he answers it. He says, certainly not. God is not done with the Jewish people. But this has taken root in a terrible way. In fact, Tony, Martin Luther, as wonderful as he did many things, including the Protestant Reformation, he wrote some pretty anti-Semitic things, and he bought into the whole replacement theology doctrine, and Hitler actually quoted Martin Luther in Mein Kampf as part of his reasons why he should exterminate the Jewish people on the planet, because they are useless now. So this kind of thing is very insidious, and we're seeing it now in the church playing out today. Because this is why many pastors, unfortunately, are not supporting Israel in the war against Gaza and what's happened since October the 7th. So now you have Protestant pastors who are saying, well, God is done with the Jewish people. He's done with Israel. And so we're not going to get behind Israel. We're not going to support their right to the land. As you stated earlier in your comments, God hasn't rescinded on his promises from Genesis 12 or from Genesis 15 when he promised the land to the descendants of Abraham, right, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have to be strong about this in our pulpits. Otherwise, we're giving place to this demonic theology. You know, in Revelation 12, it speaks about how the dragon stands perched to devour the woman's child. And it's a bigger right. picture of how Satan is bent on destroying all things related to Israel and the Jewish people. And it's a terrible doctrine that has slipped into the church.
Well, and the offspring, because it is not just the Jewish people. That's first, but then the church is next. It's people of the book.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and that's why anti-Semitism, I've mentioned this on the program before, but back during my time as chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, holding hearings on the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe, the Special Rapporteur for Religious Persecution at the United Nations stated that it is the canary in the coal mine when you look at anti-Semitism. And history tells us that as well. How else can you explain a nation, Israel, that went away for 2,000 years, coming back into existence in a day, which yeah. I think that actually says something in Scripture about that, comes back in a day. How else do you explain it other than it is God reconstituting the nation, doing exactly what biblical prophecy says he would do?
It's totally a God thing, and it's the revival of a people group, including a language. You know, the Hebrew language was, for all intents and purposes, kind of extinct other than being in print in scriptures. It wasn't the common spoken language, and it wasn't until guys like Ben Yehuda and Herzl started to revive the ancient language and had it spoken within their families. So when you look at how God brought a people back together, how the revival of an ancient language, this is clearly prophetic, and God is not done with the Jewish people, and to say otherwise is anti-Semitic.
And that would include the land in which they are in. So if you're against Israel, and I've heard that this is not original with me, but if you're against the state of Israel, you're anti-Semitic, because that is what that is, the Jewish state of Israel. And I want to take it one step further, because what we read in Scripture of all of the biblical accounts in Samaria and Judea, the heartland of the Bible, 80% of the things we read about in the Bible happen in Judea and Samaria, which is actually what the Biden administration is proposing that Israel gives away in pursuit of this elusive two-state solution. Again, running counter to what God had promised to give them the land, we're telling them to give up the land. I just think it's a bad idea to be on the opposite side of God.
Yeah, it's a bad idea for sure. And a two-state solution will never work as long as one of those two states is bent on the destruction of the other. So to say that a two-state solution is the solution is not a solution at all when one of them doesn't want the other to exist. And what you see happening now on college campuses, Columbia and NYU and Harvard, and the list goes on, University of Michigan, University of Minnesota, you know, all of this pro-Palestinian, protesting is really pro-Hamas protesting, because they're now saying, mm-hmm. we are Hamas. They want the destruction of the nation of Israel. But what's interesting is sometimes when, you know, people refer to the elite Ivy League schools as the best and the brightest, I call them the dumbest and the dimmest right now, because they're calling for the extermination of Israel from the river to the sea, and many of them can't even tell you what river they're talking about. So this anti-Semitism has crept in to our universities. It's crept in, unfortunately, into our pulpits. And listen, God's not done with the Jewish people. And he who touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. We have to always be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and standing with Israel. Not everything that every nation does is right. I get that.
Right.
But God's not done with the nation of Israel.
Right. I think we've crossed a line. And we're going to begin to see greater definition between the political parties, between our leaders, and really in our society. I mean, it's been happening for years. You know, our elections are narrowly divided, as our country is narrowly divided. But I think it's going to intensify as we see issues like this that are clearly spiritual in at their core, manifesting in the realm of politics. So with that in mind, Pastor Gary Hamrick, before we run out of time, what would you say to Christians, to believers, Bible-believing Christians, who I would encourage to be in the Word of God, that helps make sense of all of this, and to pastors? What should they be doing in this hour?
Well, I would say to them, read Romans chapter 11, because if you think that God is done with Israel and the Jewish people, you need to rip Romans chapter 11 out of your Bibles. God makes it clear that he's not finished with Israel. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, he says that Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in, meaning that's a window for Gentiles, that God is waiting for us to come to the place of salvation. But then in verse 26, he says, and then all Israel shall be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that every single Jewish person will believe in Jesus, but it means, certainly, God is not done, that there's still a redemptive plan for the Jewish people. So my encouragement to pastors and to Christians would be, read Romans 11, understand God's not done with the Jewish people, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it is essential that we're on the right side of this, and God is for Israel, and he is not done with the Jewish people, so pray for them.
All right, Pastor Gary Hamrick, we're going to leave it there, but I want to thank you for joining us today and for your leadership.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you as well. God bless.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.